And it is the morning pre-flight. It's Jim and...
me, Tommy.
Virtual Tommy.
Virtual Tommy. It's not so virtual. They have a really creepy mannequin of you, Tommy. I don't know if you noticed or not.
I've been watching on the video feed.
I really can't take my eyes off of it.
Yeah, they keep defiling it every break in a different way, too, which is fantastic. And honestly... it's just really in lieu of the verbal abuse I normally take when I'm there, okay. So it's fine.
Good. So it's just keeping the status quo.
Right.
Yeah, exactly.
We are joined by Josh Bixler of Flight Test.
Good morning, Josh.
Hey, good morning.
So this morning, talk about a lot of fun things going on. We had Teacher Day yesterday,
yeah.
And some of the focus on education, some of the things there. I did want to touch on something that... every time we talk drones comes up. And the flight test aircraft had been an example of, I don't want to have my drone, compliant with that governmental Draken thing that they want to put on there, to be able to fly safely. And I'm just going to build my own to get around this. So I'm not going to buy anything. I'm just going to build my own. To try and skirt the issue, and I think that Flight Test has taken an appropriate position on that.
Yeah, we call it FREA first. You know, back when Congress reauthorized this whole thing with the Reauthorization Act, they had actual exemptions carved out for this, and one of those things were FREAs, federally recognized identification areas. This is where if you are a school or if you are a flying club or you're fill in the blank, something out there to grow the world of aviation, you could apply for one of these. And that way, people that would build these economical models and would walk in didn't have the financial burden of having to put any kind of remote ID. Mm-hmm. Now, with the FTCA and Flight Test and our amazing community and a lot of others combined, FPVFC for one of them, we were able to really push back in a powerful way and get some of these to be a little bit more reasonable. But at the end of the day, the FREA mentality has really been stifled in a lot of ways. Recently, they announced the PEA, Programmatic Environmental Assessment, where they kind of bolted on the EPA to the whole process.
Hmm.
Have you ever heard of anything going faster?
No.
So we're holding our breath. We're working hard. We've been working with every CBO out there, AMA, FPVFC, STEM Plus C, as one united force to try to make sure that we can really protect this. In the meantime, remote ID has come out. It's going to be, I believe, in effect September 16th.
Mm-hmm.
And we wanted to make sure for the people that fly in the parks and things like that they still have a solution, because not everywhere is going to be able to become a FREA. And especially with lots of these layers they're putting on, it's going to become even more difficult. We cannot stifle this hobby, especially when we have so many jobs that are going to be needed starting from
it's
now.
It's got some real traction at this point, too. I mean, if this was 10, 15 years ago when things were not as active, and I don't think anybody would have noticed, quite frankly.
And a lot of times when I talk to a lot of upper representatives, it's as much education as it is, trying to encourage them and influence them. They're like, wait a minute, they don't all have a GPS on already? Wait a minute, they don't have geofencing? Like, these were literal things that they were saying to me. Like, they just picture a drone as a drone as a drone as a drone.
Right.
And if you're flying planes, you must be at one of those club fields with the really big models. And there can't be more than 1,000 of those, right?
Right.
It is everything but the case, where we have over, we thought it was 10,000. We did a recent count. We have upwards of 15,000 students currently in schools during our aviation programs. The way they've written the law, they would require remote ID to be in those. And when we were going through the FREA processes helping a lot of our STEM schools, they're like, well, wait a minute. No, there could be a football game in that football field. It's like, come on, guys, think about this. They're not going to have a football game while you're doing a STEM activity and flying in a football field.
Right.
Well, there could be. Well, there won't be. It's like we can use the ground. So now we're getting carve-outs and ways to edit the FREA applications and stuff. But we did come up with a remote ID module. And I'm really excited about this because it's the most affordable, in my opinion, the most powerful one out there. But we thought, okay, no one's going to be excited about it. Yay, I'm compliant. I have this thing saying, I'm here, I'm here, I'm here. We built in features like Find My Plane. And you've flown. I know you've flown a lot. And I think you're out in the country, right?
I am in the middle of nowhere.
Have you ever done that terrible walk of shame into a cornfield or something, trying to find your plane, and you're wiggling the servos and firing up the motor?
Yep.
Yeah, so we're like, everybody can relate to that. I got a thumbs up in the window there too. Everyone can relate to that. We built this really cool app. In the app is a way that you can just, oh my gosh, I landed in a cornfield. I know it went that general direction. You hit the button, hit find my plane. Next thing you know, you have a tracking beacon. You can walk right to it. If you're within between 500 and 400 feet, obviously if you're in a cornfield, you need to be a little closer. But in general vicinity, this thing walks you down by the feet, and you can see it right on the map as you go.
Nice.
Also, it's really important for people to be able to, tell people, hey, I have 1,000 hours of flight time. That's great for career building. It's great for bragging rights. We're building that future stuff in the next quarter here with this app and with this remote ID that will give people the ability to digitally log their hours, track their flights. We were down at the Pioneer Field demonstrating it.
Mm-hmm.
I was really encouraged by how people understand we're trying to do FRIA first. We're trying to give them a pathway to compliance. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, here's a solution. If you have a location you fly at that's just going to say, no, you have to have this.
Yeah. And as a model aviator, drone pilot,
yeah,
commercial drone pilot, and licensed, Part 61 type flights, I understand and respect the need for it.
Yes.
and why the other pilots are nervous. Not that it's necessarily rightfully so, but I understand why that they're nervous.
Yeah.
And if something simple like that can solve that.
Bad people are going to do bad things.
Yeah.
Good people are going to do their best to comply and do it. And, mm-hmm. and I know the people that are in aviation have a tremendous respect for safety.
Yeah.
And we do too.
Right.
We want to give them every path for it. What kills me is yesterday was a highlight of the whole week. We had Teacher Day.
Yeah.
We had these amazing teachers. Some were new to the world of aviation, wanted to bring the classrooms. Some were struggling to get programs. And, man, the whole classroom was on fire. And I can't thank EAA enough for letting us have that opportunity. Remarkable people that work up in that educational division. But the teachers were on fire. Like, just mm-hmm. imagine, as they're so excited, we're building these planes, we're throwing them down the hallways, and they're like, I can do this, and I can bring this in my classroom, and kids are going to go nuts. And then all of a sudden it's like, but that just destroys it all. And flight test has always been about providing solutions, not about providing hurdles.
Yeah.
So, this really broke my heart. But at the same time, I think we're going to be able to give a solution. And combined with the Reauthorization Act coming up now,
mm-hmm.
I mean, literally right now, hopefully they'll get something to bring forward.
I love how the work that flight test is doing from STEM activities that are now STEAM activities.
Yes.
And it applies. You've hit all five letters.
Yes.
Including the A, the arts.
Yes, you know. In a big way, too.
If flight test aircraft are nothing if not art projects.
They are.
So.
I always call them people get offended. I always call them, like, there's like flying origami.
Yeah.
You're not like putting one stick at a time until it finally becomes an airplane. You're literally folding together flight. And I love the teachers when they go from a flat piece of foam mm-hmm. and literally 5 minutes later, they're holding up a legitimate airfoil. And they all do the thing that every kid does, too. They do the swish.
Yep.
Like, will this create lift? And then you see the eyebrow, like, ooh, it does.
Yeah.
I made flight, So it's a beautiful thing. I love it. It warms my heart every time. I want to protect that. This world needs flight. This world mm-hmm. needs the solutions and the jobs that's coming from these educational programs and these home-based educators, too.
Sure. So Teacher Day yesterday.
Yes.
Cool. Cool story, bro.
Yes.
But Where does the education piece go? So with these teachers get inspired to do things here, the ongoing education functions and abilities of what Flight Test has.
So you're talking about like K-12 and beyond?
Yes.
Yeah, career paths.
Uh-huh.
That's we're going back to where we're talking partners with purpose now.
Sure.
We need to get the Cirruses and the Boeings and the Textrons and stuff able to seamlessly go in. So when it's like, hey, where do the kids go? Where do they go?
Mm-hmm.
Instead of talking about like, okay, now you can go out to this great world and you can find yourself an opportunity, there's a vacuum right now. So our goal is to actually be able to take our STEM program, start seeding it with curriculums from these big companies, from these into small companies too, but all amazing innovators. So I don't know if you know this, Andrew Slew, our intern, do you remember the awesome young man? He's in Boeing now.
I'm not sure.
In stabilization. Okay. Yeah, I saw him and he has a voice that is so deep, but it brought me to tears. He just told me his path. And it all started where after he went from that in high school and into college,
mm-hmm.
they know him. They're like, okay, we've seen you. We know what you can do. We want you.
Nice.
I want that for every student. Uh-huh. And so I think those partners will really be important for us.
Partnering with schools and things like that for the K-12 educators that want to try and bring some of these things into the classroom. You've got lots of resources for that
as
well, right?
We do. As a matter of fact, a lot of people think, oh my gosh, this has to be expensive. It does not. Mm-hmm. Everything we use is common materials. A lot of schools, especially underrepresented schools, they thrive off of our programs because they'll use our electronics, they'll use our resources, but also they can go to the dollar store and buy dollar sheets of foam board. Mm-hmm. They can trace out our kits. They can do so much. We do this on purpose to make this approachable and economical. We don't want there to be any burdens. And if everyone knows, everybody's tight on finances. So this stuff is incredibly affordable. We can get somebody in a full-blown radio-controlled experience for $60.
Right.
So that means that you don't no longer have a class huddled around one drone, and it's a class of 25 and a $4,000 drone. We're talking every child can experience flight, and every week you can reinvent flight, just like what we do on the show.
Sure, sure. I believe when I was teaching some of your classes, I'm trying to remember what we determined it was costing. I think it was 30 cents per aircraft. We're doing the gliders.
Yes.
I think it was 30 cents each was what it actually wound up costing.
Can't beat that. We're the worst business model in the world. Because you think you'd like want to hijack people and make them have to go through it. We love people and love flight this much. Literally, as soon as you go through our program, these teachers can say, okay, now we're going off the rails and you guys are becoming engineers. And, you know, like you just said, a dollar sheet of foam produces three planes.
Yeah.
I mean, that's incredible. It's actually inflation's hit. It's $1.25 now.
Oh, yeah,
so
terrible.
But it's horrible. But it's still the most economical way, legitimate flight.
Right.
And I'm so grateful to be in the position where we are today to bring it.
Josh, you're on the field with some of your wares.
Yeah.
In a new location. It's not exactly in the fly market, but kind of fly market
right
adjacent.
Right on the corner. Yeah, northwest corner of Hangar D. You'll see the Piper trailer, and then booth 832 is straight across the road from it. You'll see the feather flags flying, and a lot of just great human beings working there. My wife's in there. The team's in there. David's in there. Lee's in there. And, you know, this is a family operation. So you're going to see all of our kids and the people that do the content, too.
Sure. All right.
Fantastic.
Thank you, Josh, from Flight Test. This is EA Radio.